this is the kind of fall day we live for and are famous for in Saskatchewan. It's going to be, what, a high of about 17 degrees, so nice day, fairly mild, I would say, temperature-wise. Bit of a wind for sure, but signs of fall are here. Leaves are starting to change and fall. I don't even think about raking leaves yet. There's lots left to fall. We'll let them fall before we rake them. Maybe my neighbors might not like that, but that's my MO. Colder in the morning, we see, of course, dipping below freezing. And, of course, another sure sign that fall is here. The birds are on the move. If you look up, the sky's filling up with flocks heading south. And Saskatchewan, I just was reading an article, is a pretty important location for these birds. Our province being referred to as the heart of the flyway, where many of these birds pass through on their journey south. I'm glad and welcoming, helping have back on the program, Dr. Mitch Wiegman. Dr. Wiegman has joined us before. He's with the Department of Biology at the University of Saskatchewan. Ducks Unlimited Canada Endowed Chair in Wetland and Waterfowl Conservation. Dr. Mitch Wiegman, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me on, Evan. Pleasure to be back.
Fall migration is underway. What are some of those first signs that will indicate the birds are starting to move, aside from just seeing them in the sky?
Well, you know, migration's actually fairly complicated, and a couple of the primary drivers are day length. So lots of these birds are programmed to move when these days are getting shorter and shorter. But also these big cold fronts. So this time of year when birds are moving from north to south, those big north winds or northwest winds will push these birds south fairly efficiently. And so we usually see big departures from this part of the world under those north winds, but also big arrivals. We have lots of species still yet to come through this fall migration. We're just getting going, as you referenced there in your intro.
So how far, and I know it varies by species, but how far are these birds going?
Well, yeah, it really depends. So some of the shorebirds, some of the avocets, godwits, plovers that some folks might be familiar with across the province, so these are the little wading birds around the edges of wetlands. Their migration actually begins in July and August. Some of those species are going to Central and South America. Some of the songbirds that folks are familiar with that nest in the prairies here in Saskatchewan in the summer, they might be headed to the southern U.S. or Central America. A lot of the waterfowl, the ducks, geese, and swans of the province that also nest here, are headed to the mid-latitudes of the U.S., Kansas, Missouri, Illinois, on down to Texas and Louisiana. This part of the world is referred to as the Central Flyway. So the very northern part of the flyway is the Northwest Territories and Western Nunavut, through Saskatchewan, down into the mid-continent of the U.S., the Dakotas, and to Texas. And so that's sort of the flight path for most of the species in the province.
So what is it about Saskatchewan, Dr. Wiegman, that makes it? Is it got to do with the jet stream, or has it got to do with our wetlands? What is it about our province that makes us the heart of the flyway?
So we are in the epicenter of the Prairie Pothole region, which I know you featured lots on your show before, mm-hmm. This mosaic of grasslands, formerly short grass prairie, today mostly hayland or areas grazed from producers, but also agriculture. And this mixture of wetlands and uplands provides this ideal nesting environment for a huge suite of bird species. So this is a primary breeding area for a bunch of species of birds, but also a staging area. Now with harvest ongoing, there's a lot of waste grain on the landscape, and so quite a few of these species are staging here. They didn't nest here, but they're stopping over to refuel, replenish lost nutrient reserves en route south.
It's interesting to hear you say that, because I think about my time out on the farm just a couple of weeks ago helping with harvest. Lots of times, especially when you finish the field, right? So there's not a lot of actual machinery active in the field. You will see these big flocks of birds land on the field. So that's exactly what you're talking about.
That's it. And you know what? The timing of the birds arriving right after harvest is truly remarkable. So just a few weeks ago, I was just east of Saskatoon where my wife and I, our family live, and we were watching snow geese moving to freshly combined fields. And I'm telling you, within an hour of that field being combined, a wheat field, the snow geese were there in the thousands. So I was actually just trading ideas with the farmer about the potential to we have these tracking devices on thousands of birds in Saskatchewan, and following the combine versus the bird tracking data to try to link how quickly they actually time the harvest. It's pretty darn amazing how good they are at finding high-quality food opportunities.
No doubt, no doubt. Dr. Mitch Wiegman is our guest, Department of Biology at the University of Saskatchewan. I noticed the text came in on the text line saying, how do they do it? How do the birds, from an endurance standpoint, because these are long trips, how do you know, you have any idea, and again, I guess it matters per species, but how far they're traveling per day?
Well, yeah, it really varies. So, I mean, the question of how do they do it has been a lingering thought for thousands of years, literally going back to Aristotle's writings where they thought birds migrated to the moon in the winter, or barnacle geese in Europe, named because they believed the geese wintered at the bottom of the ocean floor. So people have been asking these questions for thousands of years. For the most part, these birds are flying distances that match their physiology. So if you're a little bird, you can fly a relatively short distance before you need to refuel. If you're a big bird or have the profile of a 747, pretty aerodynamic in terms of the wing shape and type, then you might be able to fly further. We have quite a bit of evidence. Some of these larger birds are flying thousands of kilometers almost continuously.
Wow.
So they're certainly capable of some pretty epic migrations, but a lot of migrations are actually just stair-stepping, flying at an altitude of just a couple hundred meters, what a lot of people would probably associate with big flocks of geese, bees over their house, and they're just stopping along the way to replenish nutrient reserves, so it's not so risky.
Dr. Mitch Wiegman joining us, talking about migration patterns of birds. Dr. Wiegman, Ducks Unlimited Canada endowed chair in wetland and waterfowl conservation. Is there anything that people in the province can do to help during this migration season?
Well, certainly disturbance is a part of the problem, and potentially with birds refueling. So we hope that in this part of the world, birds are able to acquire the nutrient reserves they need to successfully make it to the next stage. So if you're a bird watcher or you enjoy getting out and experiencing our beautiful province in the fall, then keeping an eye on these birds from relatively safe distance, where you're not bumping them from their feeding areas, is a really good idea if possible. It's also a time of year that a lot of people are tempted to start replenishing their feeders, because we have a lot of smaller birds also migrating through, and this is sort of the last stop in the province before they head south into the U.S. or even into Central America. So no hesitations on replenishing the feeder. Just make sure that you keep topping it up, and if you're observing these birds, then keep some distance just to make sure that they can continue to feed and really pile on the fat and protein they need.
Let's just for a second talk about Ducks Unlimited Canada. Can you talk about what they do and how their efforts help these birds?
You bet. So this is a leading conservation organization in Canada. Their purpose is to provide wetlands conservation for waterfowl, but the whole suite of species that rely on wetlands all across the country. There's a huge mosaic of wetlands across the country, thinking about British Columbia and mountainous wetlands to the Prairie Pothole region where we are, all the way to the Maritimes. And so a part of what they do is conserving the land and working with landowners to try to provide the best possible wetland quality across the country that they can. Another part of what they do is the science, which is what we do in our group. They also have an Institute for Wetland and Waterfowl Research, so they have their own scientific arm with a wonderful team of scientists studying different components of wetlands and wetland-dependent birds, like the ducks and geese that we're referencing. So it's this mixture of on-the-ground conservation, policy, and also science that really guides this important conservation work from Ducks Unlimited Canada.
Mm-hmm. Chatting today with Dr. Mitch Wiegman. By the way, do you ever get shocked by, I didn't know that bird was in this province? I mean, you see the species that we have here. Does anything ever shock you that you wouldn't expect to find in our province?
Well, you do get some rare species. I'm thinking about Anna's hummingbird. So this is a hummingbird with just a beautiful pink throat, not our normal ruby-throated hummingbirds that are in the province. So some of these are blown in with westerlies or even from the East Coast. Even you see species coming from, say, Europe, blown over big storms, from Greenland to the Maritimes and then over. They might link up with some of the normal migratory birds of Saskatchewan, and now you've got these odd species. But for the most part, it's just the enjoyment of seeing the relatively rare species. So I'm thinking about the great gray owls in the boreal forest, thinking about the whooping cranes that are passing through from Wood Buffalo National Park headed down to Louisiana and Florida. Like, these are some fairly rare species. The whooping cranes in particular, there are just hundreds at a time, and often you're seeing 2 to 20 at a time.
Right.
So that represents a pretty big chunk of the whole world's population right here in Saskatchewan.
Mm-hmm. It's always fascinating talking to you, Dr. Wiegman. I appreciate your enthusiasm for this. I learn something every time I talk to you, so it's great to have you on the program. Thanks for your time today.
This is such a pleasure, and I hope people get out and enjoy bird migration. It is truly a spectacle, and we're so privileged to be here and a part of it.
Do you have, just before I let you go, because you said that, do you have a tip for us? If someone, maybe they're a first-time birder, they're wanting to go out, and where's a good place to go?
This time of year, with wetlands sort of in a middle state of water, I would focus on rural areas. I mean, this is about as relaxing as life gets, driving grid roads, getting out and hiking, just having a look at nature, the wild places around you. We're blessed from west to east, north to south in the province to have lots of birds, literally millions of birds moving through the province right now. So I would get out of the more urban environments, get to rural environments and just look around. Most of the bird movement is first light and last light. So for folks interested in truly the spectacle of thousands of birds moving, that window of 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. and 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. is pretty productive.
Dr. Mitch Wiegman, thanks for your time.
Thanks, Evan.
Always appreciate having him on our program. You're listening to 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.